Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Thanks for joining us on The Takeaway today. I'm Todd Zwillick, and we have a story now about climate change on the local level and what happens when a small town confronts the real cost. About 170 coastal communities in the United States are bracing for chronic flooding over the next 20 years. That's according to the Union of Concerned Scientists. That's more than twice the number today. And it's already a reality in the town of Nags Head, North Carolina, in the Outer Banks. Officials and homeowners there are battling with beach erosion and a vanishing shoreline, and also the very real controversy and cost of rising property damage. Nicholas Kuznets recently reported from Nags Head, North Carolina, and wrote about its experiences for Inside Climate News.
These were houses in a little stretch of beach in Nags Head that suffers from really bad erosion, and it had been a problem for a long time. Some of them had been moved back decades earlier. So the town knew that this area was a problem. Then there was a nor'easter that hit in 2009, and it badly damaged the homes, and it caused a fair amount of erosion. And so it meant that these homes were now literally in the surf. And the town wanted to get rid of them. The town wanted to knock them down, said they were a hazard. Their septic tanks were sticking up out of the ground. But several of the owners said, no, you can't do that. You can't take our homes. And they fought back.
So what happened with all the different competing priorities? I imagine the homeowners say, no, you can't take our home. The town said, this is an eyesore and a condemned building has to go. Maybe the county said something else. I don't know. There must be a lot of competing interests here.
Yeah. So basically, the town moved to condemn the homes. Three owners who owned eight of the homes fought back and ended up in court and led to a series of lawsuits that dragged on for years. One of the lawsuits led to a ruling in state court that basically took away the town's ability to condemn homes just because they're out on the beach. Some of the other lawsuits kept going, resulted in settlements of almost $2 million. The town succeeded as part of that huge payout in taking several of the homes off the beach, but a few of them are still there. And the town basically ran out of either the will or the money to keep buying out the homes. The owners now have these homes that, because their septic tanks are exposed, can't be inhabited, but they don't want to let go of, and it's just kind of a stalemate.
I read one of your homeowners in your piece who said, I wish my home would just collapse. Pretty unusual for somebody to wish the whole structure would fall down.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is a man named Lance Goldner. His home's in really bad shape. He doesn't want to fix it up because even if he did fix it up, he wouldn't be able to rent it. The septic tank is sticking out of the ground. He can't get a permit to rebury it. The town has offered him $50,000 for the home, but he says he owes $250,000 on his mortgage, so he doesn't want to, you know, just kiss all of that goodbye. But if a hurricane came and totally obliterated the house, he might be able to collect a good amount of money in insurance.
So, Nick, this would be a pretty interesting story if it were about one small town and a battle between the town and the county and the state and the neighbors over wrecked homes and rising sea levels. But it strikes me this isn't really about Nags Head at all. I mean, they can't be alone here. This seems like there's a cautionary tale that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, that's what drew our interest. I mean, I mentioned that this stretch of beach has particularly bad erosion. So in a sense, it's like a leading edge. It's kind of a vision of what's to come. And that's not to say it'll play out exactly like this. But I think it's fair to say that what happened here was the town didn't have a plan for how it would get rid of these homes when that day of reckoning came, even though it knew it would come one day. So now up and down the country's coasts, we're facing worsening erosion. We know that rising seas will inundate neighborhoods, inundate properties. And yet, if we don't have plans for how we'll protect the coast, where we'll protect the coast, where we'll pull back and when we'll pull back, you know, we can see expensive and messy battles like this coming.
Let's go back to Nags Head for a minute. How big is the area where Mr. Goldner's property got inundated and wrecked and his neighbors too? Seems to me one solution there might be to build something up and protect the beach or protect the homes behind the beach.
So you're talking about coastal protection here, right? I mean, we have billions and billions. I mean, just in Nags Head, it's nearly $1 billion of beachfront property. And so a big strategy across the country is to protect that property. There's various ways to do that, and more coastal engineers and geologists are moving towards what's called known as soft structures, like beach nourishment, which is what Nag's Head's doing, basically dredging sand from the ocean floor and pumping it onto beaches. So that's one way of dealing with it. It's expensive. It's temporary. You know, you can build up a beach as they did in New Jersey and New York after Sandy, but it's only going to last a number of years or until the next storm. But it's really the best option in many cases. The other option of building a wall, what you'd get there is you might protect the home behind it, at least for a certain amount of time, but you'd have no beach in front of it. All the sand would be eroded away. Plus, the problem with building walls is they fail. And how high do you build that wall?
It would also seem like the incentives to beach nourishment and all this protection might be a little bit backward, right? Because it sort of cuts against the other thing that you're talking about, which is coming up with long-term proactive plans to get people out of the way.
That's right. I mean, proponents of beach nourishment say that it's well worth the money based on what it's protecting and the tax base it's protecting. Because if Nag's Head lost its coastal property, it would lose its tax base and its reason for being. But the concern is exactly what you pointed out, that when you build up these beaches, you can sort of hide the risk that's really there. And North Carolina, for example, has passed some rules that's meant to help towns that have these long-term beach nourishment programs take advantage of that. But the risk is that you're continuing to build in risky areas.
Is anybody in a position of policymaking at the state level, the federal level, taking this type of long-term thinking seriously? Because notoriously, they don't. I mean, as you know, government is generally reactive. You're talking about proactivity with a 20 to 50 year horizon.
I think the short answer is no. There's no federal plan for this. Some states have varying degrees of plans. A lot of the decision making is devolved to local communities like Nag's Head. The federal government has spent billions of dollars on beach nourishment, for example, but almost all of that is reactive. It's FEMA money after hurricanes hit. It's not a long-term plan.
Nick Kuznets, reporter with Inside Climate News. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.